The police did a terrible job, and I think there were mitigating circumstances, one of which was obviously the fact that there weren't very many of them. A lot of them had gone away to the front. But I think overwhelmingly what comes through the evidence in the archives is the fact that the police simply didn't care enough about these women. Remember, it was wartime, and the whole emphasis was on the soldiers who were losing their lives at the front, added to which it was a very chauvinist society. And the police, I think, felt that the women on the list in Landry's notebook, they were probably prostitutes or loose women, and therefore their lives counted for less. And the most remarkable thing to me is that Landry got away with it for as long as he did, and that he was only caught actually as the result of the actions of women, not men, in particular two sisters of the missing women who joined forces together to get Landry arrested, to assemble enough evidence that the police had to investigate properly.
But these women were playing Sherlock Holmes.
In effect, and in particular one of them, who was a very humble housemaid called Marie Lacoste, and she was a born detective. She was very, very persistent, and she was able to reconstruct a lot of what had happened in relation to her sister. Not enough to have direct evidence that Landru had killed her sister, but certainly enough for the police to arrest Landru. But she had to overcome enormous prejudice and indifference, and she wrote to the mayor of the local village. He ignored her, and it was only really right at the very end that the police were able to really go ahead because they felt they had no other choice.
Landru had quite a good defense, right? A very famous lawyer who tried to get him off the hook.
He had what most people would reckon to have been the top lawyer of the day, called Vincent de Moreau Giafari. And the reason Moreau took on the case was really not because he liked Landru at all. It's quite clear in the trial that he despised him, but because he was a passionate opponent of the death penalty. And he was convinced, this is the lawyer, that there was not sufficient evidence to prove beyond doubt that Landru had killed these women. And I have to say, I think he was probably right on a narrow point of law. And so that was what Moreau was fighting for. And the amazing thing is that he very, very nearly did succeed in saving Landru from the guillotine.
Now, we went to Gambé to have a look at the house of Landru, the Villa Trique, which is still there. What was your impression of that house today?
Well, it's hard not to imagine what went on inside the house. It looks very sinister from the outside, and that's partly because it's pretty run down and derelict and bits of it are boarded up.
Surrounded by a high hedge.
Surrounded by a high hedge. And I think the thing that struck me most of all the first time I saw it, and it still struck me again today, is you have this very small house in those days out in the middle of the country, and then you have this very, very large garden at the back with sheds and outhouses. And it looks like the scene for a murder plot. And I think that that is really how the police saw it as well. So all the investigative attention ended up being focused on Gambé.
Let's stay there a bit more. After the case 1919, the house got a certain fame locally, right?
Well, it's bizarre because the house was converted eventually into a restaurant. And it traded on the fact that, of course, you could dine in the same dining room where next to the kitchen where Landru had allegedly burnt the remains of his victims.
And that apparently attracted people.
It did. It seems to have done a reasonably successful business through the interwar period. It went out of business in the Second World War. But yes, it was a fairly kind of remarkable afterlife for the house.
The Landru case, the trial, took place in 1919. It almost coincided with the Versailles conference, which marked the real end of the First World War and basically reshaped the world order. But it attracted a huge amount of attention, and some people say it was propped up to take away the attention from the Versailles conference because of the bad performance of France at the time.
I thought long and hard about this, and I think in the end, the reason the Landru case attracted such attention was because it sold newspapers. This was just the most amazing show in town. By the end, you had a crowd of perhaps 500 crammed into the courtroom. You had the stars of the day like Mistinguett, Maurice Chevalier. Everybody wanted to come and look at the trial. You had this great defense lawyer who nearly saves Landru from the guillotine, making this fantastic closing speech. So it has all these elements. And the judge, who was quite vain, he wanted to be in the papers himself, so the newspaper photographers were allowed inside the courtroom. So it really was an absolutely sensational show. And I think in the end, that's why it attracted so much interest, because you had this extraordinary case, this extraordinary defendant who was quite possibly mad, and something going on every day that was utterly dramatic.
In today's terms, Landru's actions amounted to the very extreme case of a Me Too. But do you think that the modern Landru has the same opportunities, given the much better means of communication we have today, social media, etc.?
Difficult question. I think what came out in the end for me was that there was obviously things there that were that happened in Landru's time that you can find parallels with the present. And I think you could imagine Landru as an internet stalker. You could certainly imagine him trawling for women on the internet rather than in metro stations and public parks. The thing that came through for me most of all, though, was the sheer courage of the women who came to testify against him. I mean, you have to imagine a time and a trial which was absolutely drenched in misogyny, and Landru plays on that. He tells the jury, ignore these cackling hens, ignore these women, because they're women. And he tries to intimidate them into silence. And you know this because you can see this from the photographs of the trial, that several of them, including the maid, Marie Lacoste, they won't have it. They stare straight back at him until it's him who has to look away, and they are just determined to send him to the guillotine. And in the end, what I felt was, this is a case that was decided by the heart, not the head, that they did not have evidence that could prove beyond doubt, beyond any doubt, that he killed the women. There just wasn't enough of it. But in the end, you couldn't look at these women coming to testify against Landru, the mothers, the sisters, relatives, friends of the missing women, and not feel that their case was one that deserved to win. And I think in the end, that's why they won.